Father, we again take a moment just to stay in your presence. We know that you're working in our lives. You know you've already begun speaking to us this morning in all areas of our life. We thank you, Lord God, that you are everything that we need. We ask now as we go to your word that you would allow us to sense your presence there and speak to us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. For the last several weeks, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit working in our lives and ministering to us in times of need and in the way that is not only unique, but as we need it. And last week, we looked at God in the workplace, what that looks like as God is using us where we're at, and we know that we need to make a living. We know that we have a responsibility to minister to Him. We understand that at times God wants to use us where we're at for as long as we are there to build kingdom. We may not always like it, but it is where He has us for that season of time. And today I want to just talk a minute about God's Holy Spirit working in our lives and what part that plays as we spend time with each other. And we're grieving this morning together. We're hurting. We need answers together. We don't understand all of these things. So, Father, I just ask again that you would minister to us in this moment of time through your word. And Lord God, we would realize that we need you more today than ever before, and we need each other like never before. That together, Lord God, you will build kingdom together, you will disciple together, you will discipline together, you will uplift and encourage, but you use those that are around us to do that. May you get honor and glory in your word and what you want to do, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 2, very short, familiar verse. The disciples coming out of the upper room, the disciples having an encounter with the Holy Spirit of God ministering to them. And the text this morning is starting at verse 42, reading to 44. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Last week was Pentecost Sunday, and we sang songs about worship. We sang songs about allowing God to fill us, to move us, to use us, to give us the strength that we need to be more than what we can in ourselves, to be able to be sensitive to the things that God has placed in front of us, and realizing that we can't do it in our own strength. And I hope that this morning that is your prayer. I hope that is your heartbeat, that God, I don't always like where I'm at, but I know that God, you use me where I'm at, so I'm open for that. And if you remember, last week was also the wedding of the royal family. Now, some of you may think that's a big deal, and some of us may not think that is important, but I do want to share a moment that I believe that Bishop Michael Curry shared a powerful message on how God can use people and how God can show the power of love. And I believe that it was anointed. I believe that it showed the world that God could use a man to change some of the things, because some people just thought they were going to a wedding. But he turned it into church. He turned it into making people look at a more powerful thing going on. And why it was powerful is because that we got a taste of God's anointing. Amen? As you listen to that, we got a taste of God's anointing. The message was more than just a man speaking, because you could see that behind that was God's love, God's anointing, that it was more than just words that touched hearts, because those words touched the hearts that have no mind for God. Amen? And he ministered to those that thought they were just going to a wedding, but really had an encounter with God. There was power there. There was undeniable power there that was more than just what he could muster up. I saw an illustration this week, and it goes something like this. There was a lady who worked in this enormous factory, in one of the largest factories of its kind. And one day she confided in her pastor that she had to quit. And he couldn't quite understand this. He said, "What's the matter? Doesn't the factory have enough work for you to do? Isn't there enough orders to keep you busy?" And she said, "No, that's not it at all. In fact, we can't keep the orders filled. There's more work than what we can do, but we haven't got enough electricity." She says that by the time that all of the floors and all of the electricity is being done, that by the time it's down to her, that most of her machines are not working. Most of those machines have tripped a breaker that have caused them to not be able to be used. And she says, "I can't afford to stay there because I'm losing too much time and not getting my quota done because there's not enough power." And I want you to know something this morning. I believe that's what's the matter with some of the things going on in the church. That it's not that there's not enough power on God's end, but there's not enough power to move because we're not open to this. And where I'm going with this is that in our circumstances, we've got to have God bigger than our circumstances. Amen to that? In our problems, we got to realize that we have a God that is much bigger than our circumstances that we're going through, and that we serve a God that cares not only about, you know, kind of like the pageant going, "I wish there would be peace in the world," and all the things that they said. We have to realize there is a God that cares not only for the peace of the world, but he calls out your name. That is bigger than just that. And you have to understand that when this ragtag group went up to the upper room to pray, they were believing God to do something amazing. They were believing that God would send the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, that we would be able to build kingdom, that we would be able to make it through life, make it through all of those challenges that we go through. And I'm telling you, the more I see the world, the more the things I go through, the longer I'm in ministry, I don't know how people do it without God. I don't know how they do it, how they go through these things. Can you imagine what your household would be if you allowed God to do all the things that he wanted to do? That would have been a good place to say amen. If you would, can you imagine all the things that would get accomplished? Would you imagine all of the arguments that could be avoided? Can you imagine all the kindness that would be shared if we allow God to do what he wanted to do in our lives? And then transfer that to our workplace, transfer that to our churches, transfer that to the communities that God has called us. Everywhere you went, if people around you could see the power of God working, can you imagine what would have been accomplished? That one event, the apostles and the people in the upper room, all of those that came and wanted God to do something, that changed their life forever. They sought out God, and God showed up. Isn't that a great thing? Isn't that a wonderful promise when you stop and you think about it? That they were seeking God and God showed up because he promises to do that. And I realize when we look at these texts and some are afraid to just tackle this text head on because they're afraid that some concentrate on the speaking of tongues. That some were so concentrated that, you know, he must have been drunk. That some want to just leave it alone and not deal with it. Some were confused by what was happening. One of my favorite verses in dealing with the Holy Spirit is this. Acts 2:12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Now, I got news for you this morning. I know a lot of people like that, don't you? That'd be a great place. Amen. Amazed and perplexed, not knowing what's going on. But as you look at them, they knew that God was in it. I know a lot of people like that, that are confused and not knowing what's going on. And some say, where do I sign up? And then I think there's another group that just looks at them and says, this isn't what I signed up for. How about it? Some are all in, and some said, this is not what I signed up for, because I think we forget that the church isn't our idea. This whole church thing was not our idea. Jesus Christ himself said that he would build his church. He himself said that the gates of hell would not prevail. He himself said that he would grow the church. So where in all of that did we think that we control that? Except to come under his teachings, to come under his anointing, to come under his obedience and do what he's called us to do. I would like to see that happen at Rosedale, wouldn't you? I would love to see that God would get a hold of this community. Other churches would suddenly get on fire. See, I don't believe we're in competition with other churches. I think that there's plenty of unsaved people to reach. Let me give you a little bit of a secret. God will use creative ways to touch people. God will use creative ways to reach people that maybe have never been done before. So all of them that say, we've tried it 100 times, will go 101 or try something different. Because in the midst of all of this, there are still people wanting to know about God. They're just not sure about church. They're just not sure about some of the people that are in church. They're not sure because they've been burned in different areas. And God calls us out to be a witness. God calls us out to make a difference, calls us out to be creative. Peter came out of that meeting and reached 3,000 people. He opened his mouth and God anointed and blessed it. Maybe like Bishop Curry. Just be available. Just be open. Just allow God to use you. See, the Holy Spirit of God can comfort us, can challenge us, and at times bothers us. Say amen to that? We don't like that part. We like the part where he says he comforts us and he encourages us, but sometimes he bothers us. And I love this. Pope Francis once said it this way. The Holy Spirit bothers us because he moves us, because he makes us walk. He pushes us in the church to go forward. Like Peter at the transformation. Oh, how wonderful it is to be here like this, all together. But don't bother us. We want the Holy Spirit of God to doze off and forget sometimes. We want to domesticate the Holy Spirit of God, and that's not good, because he is God. He is the wind which comes and goes, and you don't know where. He is the power of God. He is the one who gives us consolation and strength to move forward. But to move forward, he has to bother us. You know, sometimes I use myself as an example, and this morning this is one of them. In 1991, I have to share that God spoke to my heart, and it was during a very rough time in my life. It was a very rough time, and that God told me that the next year was going to be terrible. It was going to be a rough year. And in my mind, I'm going, oh, I hope you're wrong, God. But he wasn't. It was a very rough year. But here's what I thought. I figured if God could warn me about it, he could see me through it. If God could warn me about it, I knew he would see me through it. And I remember during that period of time, and maybe that's you now, maybe that was you before, and you'll remember, this will be your memorial, say, God, I remember when I went through that. But I remember during that period of time, I doubted God, I was mad at God, I tried to walk away from God, but the more that I tried to walk away from, the more he said, I got this. You only have to control what you're in control of. And I knew that God was helping me through that. And I thought about this week, and I haven't thought about it for a long time. And I stop and I think, 27 years ago. And when he brought it back, it was a little bit painful, and it was a little bit of getting my attention. And I sat there, and I was trying to grasp on, okay, God, why are you saying that? Because I believe that we need to balance our faith. And I believe we got to remember not only the good times, but the times that we struggled, the times that we had doubt, those times that the Holy Spirit was grabbing onto our hearts, and the times that he bothers us at times and doesn't let go. So how do you balance your faith and your family and your job and your church responsibilities? The answer is short, but it's not that easy. The short answer is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life freely. And I understand that doesn't come easy. That to allow God to discipline you and teach you his ways, to realize that discipleship is not a ministry. You hear me this morning? Discipleship is not a ministry. It's not a program. It's a lifelong learning and allowing God to do something in your life. So when you look at this and you go back to this text that I read, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. See, you can't separate that. They devoted themselves to the teaching of God's word. They fellowshiped with each other and they shared time with each other. They prayed together and they had an active relationship with their God. They allowed the Holy Spirit of God to change them, gave him permission to bother them. This is how you build a family. This is how you build a church. This is how you have a relationship with the Lord, and you can't do that without God. Verse 47 there in the second chapter, it says this, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, you can't separate your life from God. If you're calling out and you're saying that you're a child of God, if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, whatever word you want to put there, you cannot separate your life from God. You cannot separate the fact that you need God and we need each other. Amen? We're going through something right now. We need each other. We need that encouragement from each other. You try to do that by yourself and you have struggles. When you look at this text, and if I wanted to get all Greek on you, if you looked at that word devotion this morning, it means to persevere, to continually give attention, steadfast attention and making necessary adjustments. To faint not, giving up is not an option. Amen? Giving up isn't an option. In a state of readiness. When you look at God's word and you apply these things, that's how he changes our lives. That's how he makes a difference. That's how we give him permission to do these things in our lives. When you look at prayer this way, is it any wonder that the disciples grew in a relationship with God? Is it any wonder that we saw that the church will grow? God says he will grow his church. If we do these things, if we apply these things to our lives, and we will grow spiritually, we will make an impact on the community. See, here's the picture most of the time that most people picture when they come into church. They picture coming together, singing a few songs, hearing a message by the pastor or a group that would sing and throw a testimony in there. There would be a little bit of a prayer time and there'd be a benediction and it's see you next week. That's not what the church is. That may be some things that happen during a church service, but you know what? The church is 7 days a week. The church is gathering around each other every day, not see you next week, and you don't talk to a single another person unless you run into them in the store or the restaurant. Disciples were the very first church, first Christians as we know them, and when we see the church here, it was different than see you next week and heading out and not doing anything. See, they didn't have the lights and the mics and the fancy music and all these other things. They didn't even have these fancy chairs that we're sitting on this morning. We forget that they were persecuted for their faith. We forget that their families, some of their families kicked them out because of they were going into a new way. They set up the church and they grew. And people were saved. I love that, being saved. Did you catch that verse? Being saved. Not, I'm saved on my way to heaven now. I don't have to do anything else. Oh, Lord Jesus, come get me. Being saved, meaning they have an active responsibility to reach others. Being responsible to reach out when those that are hurting. They said they listened to the apostles' teaching. Now, that'd be equivalent to a sermon on Sunday morning. But from the very beginning, we see it was more than that. They learned together. They taught together. It wasn't just information. They didn't just go up to the information desk at the church when you're coming in and gather up all the information. See you next week. No, they spent time together. They didn't even have these fancy Bibles that we have. Number two, they had fellowship. They laughed together. They cried together. They came together. They spent time together. They ate together. Kind of act like they were friends, you know it? Like it wasn't torture that they spent time together. Community happens. We may make a joke, Nazarenes like to eat. Well, yeah, Nazarenes like to eat, but there's more than that. It's more than that. Something happens when we gather together and share a meal. Sometimes we can't even eat a meal at home. One's at the table, one's in front of the TV, one's playing a video game, and one's running out the door eating it on the run. Sometimes we just got to take that time. Fourth thing they said, they prayed. Certainly not the last thing they should do, but it is one of the things that they do. Today we view prayer as something you do all by yourself. Oh, well, I say my prayers before I go to bed. I say my prayers before I eat. Oh, man, I listen to the preacher. He gives a good sermon. And then he prays at the end of the day, see you later. But what about discipleship? What about knowing God a little better? What about digging into his word and finding out what he has to say? What about spending some of this time practicing these things together where we would actually pray together and we would actually spend time together? See, you notice any of these four things that I just mentioned, it's all community. It's all community. It's what we say that we want to do with the community. We want to reach them in a tangible way. I think the church universal makes the biggest mistake because we think we can do it on our own. Well, I'm going to pray together. I can go out and, you know, throw a fishing rod in the water and that's my praying. Well, that's right. It is. You can do that. I pray all the time. But it's not the only thing you do. The early church grew, realized that they need God, realized that they needed the Holy Spirit working in our lives, and realized that if you're going to journey, you're not going to do it alone. You can't do it alone. I need you. Do you hear me? If you don't need me and if you don't need anybody else, I'm telling you this morning, I need you. We need each other. Amen? Let's make an impact on the community. Let's make an impact on our family. Let's trust that we serve a God bigger than sometimes we can figure out. We're right in the midst of doing some things that if God's not in it, we're in trouble, and we're trusting God to be there and to meet the needs and give us direction and help us along on all of these things. And you know, God does his best work when we're outside of what we can do in ourselves. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. I pray that the Holy Spirit would get a hold of all of our hearts and would speak to us in a tangible way and direct in some areas of our lives. And for some, it's comfort this morning. For some, it may be direction. For some of us, it might be discipline, and some of us, it might just be discipleship. We need to know more about the God that we want to serve. Help us, Lord God, to journey together. Help us to be sensitive, to be looking, and not leaving any wounded warriors on the playing field, but wanting to make an impact in people's lives. I thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.